You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So around, you know, up to 8 or 10,000.
Shit.
The Wire.
The 2023 Census Severe Housing Deprivation Estimates released yesterday are the first in the world to have all of population data on LGBTQIA plus homelessness. This data provides information about the number, prevalence rates, and characteristics of people experiencing severe housing deprivation in Aotearoa, New Zealand. The numbers collected show that at the time, 261 per 10,000 LGBTQIA plus people aged 15 and over were estimated to be living in severe housing deprivation. For those who don't identify as LGBTQIA plus, the rate was 212 per 10,000. Senior research fellow with Hekainga Orana at the Department of Public Health at the University of Otago, Wellington, Dr. Brody Fraser's research was the first in Aotearoa to look specifically at LGBTQIA plus and Takatāpui experiences of homelessness. I spoke to Fraser about these census statistics and the significance of including Takatāpui. Just firstly, what exactly does severe housing deprivation entail?
Good question. So that's what we use when we talk about homelessness and we measure homelessness in New Zealand. It's, you know, one of these issues where the language is always a little bit contested and people want to use things that are less stigmatizing. So that's what my lovely colleague Kate Amore came up with when she was kind of designing how we measure homelessness in New Zealand. And we're really lucky that we've got such a broad definition here. It really encapsulates quite a lot of difficult housing experiences for people, and it's considered one of the most comprehensive in the world.
So talking about the 2023 Census Severe Housing Deprivation Estimates, what do these estimates seek to show?
So they're kind of like what would be considered a point in time count at the night of the census of who's experiencing homelessness, who's having a lot of housing sort of difficulties. And Statistics New Zealand make a really concerted effort to reach out to different communities and work in partnership with community organisations to make sure that everyone's voice is heard and included in the census so that we can get this really important data and use it for things like good policy and good social service provision.
What were some of the key findings of these statistics?
Well, it shows us that homelessness is increasing in New Zealand, which we kind of expected it would. You know, it kind of tends to increase year on year. Well, not year on year, census by census. And this time it was exciting for me, I guess you would say, in that it was the first time that we had data on our Takatāpui and LGBTIQ plus communities. And it's a really significant moment. It really speaks to the activism that our communities have been doing to be included in the census. But it also is the first time in the world, as far as I know, that any country has whole of population data on homelessness that includes LGBTIQ community. So it's a really significant milestone. And for me, the results weren't entirely surprising, showing how disproportionately affected our Takatāpui and LGBTIQ communities are in these statistics. And it showed a few things that I'd sort of suspected, but we hadn't necessarily, you know, been talking about publicly a lot or enough, you know, about Pacific rainbow communities being really overrepresented, over 65s in the rainbow community being having one of the higher proportions of homelessness in our community. So they're pretty, I would say, sad statistics, but it's really important to have them.
To add on to what you're saying there, why do you think the LGBTQIA+ and Takatāpui population has not been included in these statistics previously?
Yeah, it's been a really long fight from our communities trying to get included in the census. And I think it's been a lot of different reasons. I think culturally we've come to a point of acceptance now where these questions are less confronting to people. I think initially there was, you know, in the 90s, there was concerns that these are a little bit too personal, the state shouldn't know that, you know, a lot of homophobia and transphobia. And I'd like to think we're getting a little bit better on that kind of stuff. So we were sort of ready for that. And it's really nice to have Statistics New Zealand recognize that this is an important part of a person's identity, and it can really shape our experiences of the world and our outcomes, and we need to be able to measure that. I will say, though, unfortunately, due to financial constraints, Statistics New Zealand are planning to move to an administrative census the next time they do a census, and that means that both our rainbow data and our homelessness data will kind of be lost. They're really hard to capture by administrative data. So this is probably the only time we'll be able to have this really important data, and then it will be lost to us, sadly.
How do LGBTQIA plus experiences of homelessness differ from experiences of those who do not identify with this community?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So, you know, there's always going to be lots and lots of similarities. You know, poverty plays such a big role in anyone's experience of homelessness, obviously. But what I've seen throughout my research is that it's that discrimination and stigma that our communities face that are really having a big impact on how we experience homelessness or why we experience homelessness. You know, you hear stories of people, you know, particularly people in the trans community, if maybe they don't pass as easily or it's a little bit more visible that they're somehow, you know, quote unquote different, you know, they're going to experience discrimination and stigma in the workforce, which maybe means their incomes are a lot lower, and that's going to be making it harder to find housing. They might be dealing with landlords and property managers who have never really had to deal with a trans person or a queer person before, and maybe has some preconceived notions about what they're like as a person and some prejudices, and that makes it hard for them to find housing. And it's kind of all these flow-on ripple effects that we see across the whole life that really put people in quite a precarious and sometimes vulnerable position.
What is the significance of now having this data? What impact do you think this data could have on policy?
I think it's really, really important that we have this data. You know, here and internationally, everything you read is about trying to get programs in place to support LGBTIQ people who are experiencing homelessness. Everything you read says, oh, you know, well, we don't have sufficient data. So that's the first step. You know, we can't do anything until we have good, proper data. And that's always kind of used as a reason to brush off the concerns that our community are raising. And I think now it's such a big moment for us to finally have this data that we can go to policymakers, we can go to government, and we can say, hey, look, this is what the data says. You really need to take our concerns seriously, and you need to help us. And, you know, I don't think it's going to be a magic instant fix, particularly with the government that we have at the moment, who really are not that interested in ending homelessness or looking after people particularly well if they've got low incomes. But I think it will really help us in the fight to have our voices heard and to get our needs met.
That was Senior Research Fellow at the University of Otago, Dr. Brodie Fraser, speaking to me about rates of homelessness among Takatāpui with regards to the 2023 Census Severe Housing Deprivation Estimates released yesterday.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.